Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Morning.
And we also got a surprise. We got one of the originals back. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Morning, sir. I'm doing fine, gentlemen.
He's still alive, everybody.
I was kidding.
Scott's back at the bar. We're going to buy him a drink.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, I was kidding before we come on the air that the Kiss, the original Kiss band is back together with Ace Frehley. And
there we go.
We got Tommy Thayer and the whole group here, so this will be an interesting show.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crazy part is I don't know any of these names, but I'm riding along with the little trip you have.
Yeah, that's all right. The listeners will know, Doug. Don't worry about it.
Okay, the bartender put up the glasses. What's the first bit of news, Dan?
Yeah, not too much this week. Just want to hit some high points. The Studio Backlot tour that we've all heard are rumored to be closing is indeed closing later this month. This continues the effort of Disney to kind of close attractions. We had American Idol close a week or so ago, 10 days ago, and now the Backlot tour definitely is closing. So,
what they have left to do, turn the water off.
Yeah, really. There wasn't much going on there anyways, but it is, I guess, good to hear that, or at least see that it's definitely happening. So I think we're going to hear a lot of news about studios in the upcoming months about what their plans are, definitely. I mean, we in the Disney community have been talking about what we think is going to happen, but I think we're going to hear some definite plans.
Did you even go near that, Scott, on your last trip?
Well, that was one of the days that I missed with my little incident. So,
well, if you have to miss a park, the studios is the one to miss.
I missed the studios and I missed the Animal Kingdom.
No, well, I would have been sad about the Animal Kingdom. You know what, though? The last trip to the studios, I have to admit, it was exciting to me, as weird as it sounds. With all the Frozen stuff going on, the park felt refreshed and new again, like there was actually something going on there. So I was actually excited about, even though I didn't do a lot of the Frozen stuff, it was just nice that there was other things there, if that makes sense to you guys.
Yeah, you're talking about all the Frozen stuff, Doug?
Absolutely. It was nice to see everything going on, like it snowed on Hollywood Boulevard while we were there, which was really cool. Olaf made it snow. So, I mean, as goofy as that was, at least it was something different to see or do at the studios. So.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, the Backlot tour, I think all was left was the geyser, wasn't it? I mean, everything else was basically taken away. I think I seen an employee to one day ride the Biffert tractor out there.
Well, it's the, you know, that's a large piece of real estate. So, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what they have in mind, whether the expansion of Pixar Place or, you know, Cars roller coaster they've talked about, or maybe some of the Star Wars / Marvel stuff that we've been hearing about, too. It'll just be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a major undertaking of Star Wars. What about you guys?
Well, if they do anything like Cars Land out in California, that would be huge.
Yeah, one or the other, either Cars Land or if they make it like Star Wars Land that big, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one or the other. I'm thinking it's going to be Star Wars. You'll be happy with that, Scott.
Sure. Yeah. It'd be interesting. You know, hopefully, you know, I'm seeing a lot of the Disney cartoon, the Star Wars. You know, they're putting a lot into the new cartoon that's coming up. So they'll definitely, you know, my opinion, I think they'll definitely expand and do something with that. But, you know, like you said, that's a nice chunk of real estate back there. So I think that Cars Land would fit pretty well back there.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense geographically with the – I mean, they keep saying they're going to expand Pixar Place, and that would line up well with – you know, where Toy Story Mania is and just keep going all the way down that corridor. And then, you know, you'd eventually get to where the Backlot Tour is now. And then you know, my view is you shut down Lights, Motors, Action over the other side, and that's where you do some of the Star Wars stuff over that side. That makes sense to me anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm hoping that's the way because, you know me, I mean, we've talked many times on this show. We're not Star Wars fans. We've seen all the movies. Now, Scott's more than we are, but it's the point where I don't diss anybody for loving it. I understand if that's what you like. I'm not, you know, being mean about it. It's just not my cup of tea. Now, Cars is more, and Pixar. I like everything about Pixar. I would like to see them expand the Pixar name throughout the parks where I'd like to see more rides. I think there's so many things they could do, and I would love to see Pixar Place expanded back there.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to happen. It's just, you know, sequentially how they're going to do it and roll out all this stuff. And like we were talking about on last week's show, Doug, I mean, never in Disney park history that I can remember have they had so many major construction projects going all at the same time.
It's been back since Eisner. When Eisner was in control, it was probably about the same. Because if you remember, that's when they were in a major resort mode, where they were building resort after resort after resort.
Well, not only that, but he built the studios, too.
Exactly. So they were building the studios, plus how many resorts did they build under him? At least five or six,
right,
wouldn't you guys say, or if not more?
Yeah, you're right. That was, you know, but you're right, resort-wise. When I'm saying, you know, park-wise, I mean, there's something going on at all four of the major parks and downtown Disney. It's just amazing. I mean, you can speak to that, Doug. You were just there. I mean, there's construction walls everywhere.
Yeah, it was good and bad at the same time. It's good because you're excited, but it kind of took do you guys know how you usually go there? There's one area where it's under construction and you're okay with it?
Yeah.
It got to the point where I was seeing as many construction walls as I was seeing my Disney park.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel that way, Scott?
Well, there wasn't not so much. You know, obviously downtown, you know, it was a maze trying to get from one end to the other.
And that's right. It is.
But I didn't get through to, like I said, Studios or to Animal Kingdom. I don't recall seeing too much going on over at the Magic Kingdom or
Well, the Magic Kingdom, it broke my heart with the walls up over the moat, over the whole area where the water is.
Yeah.
That kind of distracted me a little bit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're right. You didn't get to go to the Animal Kingdom. The Animal Kingdom is wall-to-wall walls.
Yeah.
Because they have all the stuff going on with the river stuff. I mean, there's everywhere you turn, there's walls up. They got work going on back at the jungle track. There's things going on everywhere. The Tree of Life's completely surrounded because Discovery Island's being worked on.
Right.
So there's like walls. I think half the park is walls.
Yeah, my kids did tell me that, you know, the tree was certainly walled off as well as a number of other areas. So, you know, I would agree with you with that.
Yeah, plus you have, I mean, the good thing is Avatar Land, if you didn't know it was being done, you wouldn't know it was being done. The way they did that, they blocked that off. You don't even know what's going on.
Right, right.
So, what do you got next, D?
Let's see. Onboard rider photo and video comes to the Magic Kingdom's Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And what this is, as I understand it, is similar to what they did on the opening weekend, if you will, for the press and the media. I think you mentioned, Doug, Mike Rallman put up one of those videos where they shoot pictures of you and or videos as you go through the attraction, and then you can link that up to your Magic Band and, of course, purchase it if you so choose.
Yeah, they have like a GoPro in the seat or something that records you the entire time.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Actually, the video I saw of Mike, if it is that same technology, it was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're good-looking like me, it's kind of good for you. But if you're kind of homely, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yours will come off with an X over it. It's tape over the face, right?
Yes, exactly.
No, this technology is getting better and better, and I would expect if it's successful there, they'll roll that out. I think they're doing it on the Tower of Terror now as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that ought to be interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, you'll probably get it on Big Thunder and Splash and all that good stuff.
they'll sell the footage over to Universal for Hollywood Horror Night.
There you go.
They'll show that video. Look, we're killing some people over at Disney World. There you go.
Right. And other than that, I mean, other than obviously Food and Wine kicked off on Friday, all the Disney community and all the foodies out there are excited about that. And if you're on Twitter at all, you can follow along with pretty much everyone that's down there and the locals and get your view of the food items and what's going on down there. So that's pretty much all that's going on in Disney news this week.
Yeah, well, hop on our buddy sites, Bob. It's all in WDW. He's been covering the Food and Wine big time. We think he's liked less this year than he has in the past, wouldn't you say, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get Bob on here in a couple of weeks when he gets back, and we'll hear it directly from him. But just monitoring his tweets and some of his comments, generally speaking, I think he's been more disappointed than happy with the items. Then again, he's been there so much, and he's super critical, and he has high expectations for them. So I wouldn't say that he's being negative towards the Food and Wine because he loves it, but he's just some of the comments were less than favorable for some of the items.
Yeah, so hop on. It's all in WDW and check out Bob's site. It's all about Food and Wine. It's all about food year-round. So.
That's right.
So let's get on with the show, Dan. We got our good buddy Scott back. We're going to cover his trip, the highs and the lows, as you might say, of Scott's trip. And I'll sprinkle in a little bit of mine, and then we'll do my trip report next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
So where'd you stay at this trip, Scotty?
Well, for the majority of the trip, we stayed over at Old Key West, which has pretty much been our go-to resort over the, you know, we're members of the vacation club, so... We typically stay over there. We decided to go in a day early, so I picked up a room over at Saratoga. And so we stayed there the first night. We drove down, so, you know, figured first night we'll get there, we'll sleep, we'll relax, go to the pool, do whatever. You know, kill the first day, and then day two will be fresh, relaxed, check in over at Old Key West and get out and go. So first night we got there, it rained. Yeah, it's funny because we hit absolutely no rain on the way down, and as we were pulling in to Saratoga, here comes the rain. So we figure out, you know, it's no big deal. Just one of those August showers.
It's Florida, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it rained for the rest of the day. So that was fun.
Because us, usually the Disney lifers, the people that go all the time, yeah. I usually like it when they get that rain spur
absolutely.
In the middle of the day because it clears the park out.
Absolutely, yeah.
As you're watching everybody run for the gate, and you're like, yes,
right,
go,
right.
Please.
Get a little bit of cloud cover, and, you know, it cools things down a little bit. So, you know, we got in, checked into Old Key West the next day. We went over to Magic Kingdom. We actually did Magic Kingdom for the first 2 days just because of our Fast Pass situation. There were five of us in the party, so we had reservations or fast passes. We couldn't get the mine train for the first day, so we wound up taking it for the second day. Things overall were pretty well. The weather, actually, I was watching the news while we were down there, and they were saying for that particular week, it had been the worst weather in 4 years. Because it was 95 degrees, it was between 90, 95 degrees and about 90% humidity, and
it
didn't rain a drop.
Wow.
So it just kept staying in the atmosphere, making you all nice.
Without
being soaked.
Exactly. You know, I was talking to my mom while I was down there, and she has a couple of friends who live down there, and they said that the weather was absolutely horrible. They haven't seen it like this in a while. So, of course, that's... Yeah, that's on par with the way my whole week went.
The adventures in Disney.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. But,
So your thoughts on the mine train?
The mine train, you know, my initial thoughts on it that I was disappointed. I know, you know, you and I had gone back and forth. You had asked me about it, and my initial thoughts were, you know, just a bit of disappointment, just because it was so short. You know, I loved you know, the theming of it was great. You know, the inside area where you slow down, and you know, the seven dwarfs are in there and they're doing their thing. That was great. I just was hoping that it was going to be a bit longer. But then, in retrospect and thinking about it, and then later riding the Goofy roller coaster, which is just as short. Yeah, you think, okay, this is Fantasyland. It's the kids' area. You can't, you know, if it's going to be too long, too traumatic for some little kids, then you know that wouldn't have been a good thing. So that changed my perspective on it. But as I said, overall, I just wish that it would have been a little bit longer. But you know, being that it's in Fantasyland, you're going to get a lot of little kids on there. You're going to plus the constraints of land.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought, you know, in retrospect, it was pretty good.
Yeah, see, my thing was with it, I agree with you. I think the inside should be longer.
Yeah.
I would like to see that a little bit longer. I think they could have did a little more with that. Now, answer me, did you go through, you went through FastPass, so you didn't do the whole standby line, correct?
Yeah, we did FastPass.
So I think that adds to it too, because we couldn't get FastPass because of my whole thing with my travel. I couldn't get my ticket until I got there.
Right. Okay.
So as soon as I went on that night, I got the ticket.
Right.
It was booked for the week.
Sure.
There was no
right.
But we did extra magic hours. Was open till 1 a.m.
Okay.
So me and Brenda went over, and it said a 40-minute wait,
right.
And she gave me the look.
Oh, yeah.
But we did it, and it honestly only took like 20 minutes
right.
from start to finish. And I'm glad we did it because because we did a couple shows back about enjoy the queue. That's half the ride a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
You miss half the ride if you don't do the
sure.
queue. Because I think the queue on Expedition Everest is better than Expedition
yeah.
Everest. But that's just me. So seeing all the stuff in the line, it kind of built up to it. So I think my ride seemed probably a little longer than yours, and if you just run through the line,
sure.
do fast pass, and then you're done. It's like with what I did, the anticipation, seeing the whole build up, I think made it a little better for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I enjoyed the outside quite a bit. The outside was just enough for my old butt.
Okay.
The older I get, the less I need.
Right, right.
And me and Brenda really enjoyed it. It does whip you around. Me and her almost headbutted a couple of times. I said my wife has no neck strength.
Okay.
I'm fighting it to keep it away from us to headbutt. But I thought it was really good, but I do agree the inside could be a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, with the heat that we had, we were there the week of August 16th, so that was the bad week. And so for us, it was actually a blessing to not stand in that long queue line. It was, you know, so we got through pretty quickly, you know, with the heat.
I do give them credit, though. They have some serious fans on that ride. Did you see them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand next to them, you'll get – it's like instant air conditioning.
Yeah.
I don't care how hot it is because it was pretty warm at night when we were
right.
here. You excited about it now, Dan?
Yeah, I am. I was just thinking back to what Scott was saying. I do agree with the – you know, they had limited space in which to do it. They kind of shoehorned it in there to
right. –
you know, with the land that they had. And I also think that obviously it's a huge upgrade over, you know, the Snow White ride that it replaced.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened, this is my view on this, I think that the Disney community and just people in general kind of built it up so that it would be a disappointment. And
right.
I mean it like this. If you remember, that's when the Universal, they started talking about Hogwarts and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff that they're doing over there at Universal. And people kind of pitted this against that this was Disney's answer to, you know, Harry Potter, if you will. And
right.
I don't think that was ever Disney's intention, but
mm-hmm.
people talked it up so much that you know, they figured, well, Disney's certainly going to do something as good or better than what they're doing over there at Universal. And I just don't believe that it was ever, you know, intended to be. It is what it is. And like you said, it's in Fantasyland. You can't have too thrilling, I believe, an attraction in there because, you know, basically it's for smaller kids and children that they're not going to be able to withstand, you know, something like Expedition Everest or something
mm-hmm.
of that ilk, if you will, in Fantasyland.
Well, we felt bad too, because there was, and they had a little of a teeter totter to go there with that ride too, because we were in line and there was a couple young kids that weren't like babies, they were like 4 or 5 years old, that didn't reach the height mm-hmm. there, and that's their land.
Right.
And you felt bad seeing them not be able to get on the ride over in Fantasyland. It was weird, but like you don't expect any kid not to be able to ride in Fantasyland.
Right.
Really,
that's a good point. Yeah. Now, is that an E attraction?
Yeah,
it is. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I think the other thing, Dennis, to build on your point, I think everybody takes the Mine Train as his own entity. I think everybody should be more judged the whole new Fantasyland. If you judge the whole new Fantasyland in a whole, I think Disney knocked it out of the park over there. It's so much more inviting over there. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, definitely. You know,
as adults, I never wanted to go to Fantasyland. Now I walk through there like it's anywhere. I enjoy being in Fantasyland now.
You know, it's funny because you say that, and you know, we had someone with us that had not been to the park in a few years, so we went back there, and they're saying, "Wait a minute, where's Mickey's house? Where's Minnie's mm-hmm. Minnie's house?
Town.
Yeah, wait a minute, how can you take that out?" Well, mm-hmm. they put the tent up and. Yeah.
I honestly love that whole shopping area under the tent. I enjoy all mm-hmm. that. I think it's very nice, like having all that new area in there to grab snacks and treats and food. I think there was nothing I would change about back there. With it totally being finished, it's inviting for two, because we were three adults.
Yeah.
And we actually enjoyed being in that area now. Now, in years past, me and Brenda would blow by Fantasyland as fast as we possibly could. We didn't want to be back there with all the crying kids.
Right.
It just seems so much more inviting back there now.
It is, and you know, it's funny because even the Goofy roller coaster is almost lost back there, because if you take a look, you see the twin Dumbos there on your right-hand side. You've got the kids' play area, and then you've got the large tent off to the far left. And unless you keep walking back, you're gonna miss the Goofy roller coaster.
Do you like it back there now, Scott? I mean, Luke, Jerry? I mean,
yeah,
Dennis?
Yes. I like the attractions. Obviously, I haven't been on the Mine Train yet. I'll get to see that. But I really enjoy the Little Mermaid attraction. Mm. I like Gaston's and that little area back there. But I'm not a fan of the circus theme of it. I don't know what it is, and I do realize it's Dumbo-themed, and, you know, those of us that have seen the movie or remember the movie, you know, it takes place, at least in parts, in the circus environment. But for a Disney park, for some reason, it doesn't work for me. I mean, it's beautiful. The architecture is beautiful. The walkways with the monkey prints and the horse hoofs. In the concrete, I mean, it's all done exquisitely, no doubt about it, but I just wish they would have went for a different theme. That's just me, though.
Okay.
No, I hear you. I just enjoyed the whole inside there. I liked the way they had all the food and all the, you know, the bakery, and they really did good with this. I think they got a lot done over there with the space that they had to redo it, is what my opinion was.
Yeah.
And it's an area in there. I think the other area that I like about that big top area, I know you don't, if it does rain or whatever, Florida mm-hmm. rain, there's plenty of room for people to go in there and hide.
That's true. That is true.
I think that was part of their reasoning, because people used to flow out of, you know, where would you go if that wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to cram into the train station or something like that, and there's limited, roof space, if you will, there. So you're right, you'd be stuck, or you'd be making a mad dash back to Tomorrowland or something.
Yeah, I think that was really designed to hold, and the way the height of the ceiling and all is, it'll get rid of the heat. You won't feel claustrophobic if quite a few people go in there.
Right.
So where'd you head to next, Scotty?
Well, after the first 2 days, or you want to stick with the Magic Kingdom?
I'm just saying, what rides, what other things did you guys do with the Magic Kingdom?
You know, we had a lot of attractions going down on us. You know, Space Mountain went down a couple of times. Big Thunder went down a couple of times. Splash. Seemed like most of the big stuff was going down on us that we had Fast Passes for. So we were, you know, bebopping, you know, just around the park. So we did hit Haunted Mansion, obviously, going through there. And, you know, just the normal stuff. You know, one issue that I was talking to you about before is that, you know, with the magic bands and the fast passes, the way that it's set up, if the attraction goes down, they automatically cancel your fast pass. They'll send you they'll send you a text and say your attraction is closed. Used it on whatever. So when our attractions went down that we had the fast passes for, and this happened for, I think, Splash. That actually happened on three. Splash, Big Thunder, and Space Mountain.
What did they do for you?
Yeah, they basically... Either you could wait and see if the ride comes up, or you go use it somewhere else. So
yeah, and then get it again,
and then
you
couldn't get it
at 10 o'clock at night if you were lucky.
Well, that's it.
I mean, we did get lucky on our trip where we got Soarin' and Test Track like pretty quick during the day. Mm-hmm. We were very lucky about that. The only problem I had is we had a couple problems with the whole group Link.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it just wouldn't be Link no more.
Okay.
Did you have that problem at all?
I didn't, no.
No, we went to... I booked everything all week, and then all of a sudden we get to Toy Story, and I'm the only one on the Link.
Okay.
And I've been through classes. I know how to work it. I didn't do anything wrong. I know you hit all three green checks, mm-hmm. confirmed the whole group, blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden it did it there, then we went to go... It gave us our fast pass for Test Track, and then all of a sudden it wasn't there. It just disappeared.
Right, right.
So... We had things like that. So did you end up getting on all those eventually?
Eventually. You know, we went and did the story with Space Mountain. So we were out to dinner. We were over at Kona Cafe, and Space Mountain was our first attraction that night. So we get the text saying, hey, the attraction's closed. So we go back over and we do something else. I think we wound up doing Splash Mountain. So then we work our way back down. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, we did Buzz. We did Buzz Lightyear. Okay. So we get off Buzz and then we see that there's a line over there. And so, you know, Stink said, that it was closed. So we go over and then, you know, the pimply faced kid standing there and saying, oh, yeah, his voice is cracking. The ride just came back up. So after about 5 minutes of my wife going back and forth with him, you know, he just gave us a couple of paper passes and, you know, just said, come back in an hour or whatever the queue line wait time was. And he said, come back after this time and you can get on. So.
Well, that's what they did for us at Toy Story. Yeah. They walked us through the girl. We went over to the kiosk where they had the fast passes.
Yeah.
I mean, where the Magic Band kiosks are. And she had the same problem. She couldn't figure out what went wrong.
Right.
So eventually she redid all of our fast passes.
Okay.
And then walked us on. And then we get to the second one, which my sister-in-law, for some reason, every single time, we have to scan our band twice on every fast pass we
really?
Did. It was like we scanned our band.
Oh, right,
well,
oh, right,
you did
right,
it when
right.
you first went in, and then you had the second point.
Yeah, for line jumpers, right.
Yeah, so we ended up going through the second point, and the girl there is like, you're not here. I said, I know. So they had to call her to let us know that we were going through, that we didn't jump the line, if you follow me. But that was the only major problem we had with the bands for the trip.
Yeah, you know, I
love them for the room.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's got it. Yeah, and I like it for the purchases, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
dinner. But, like, it's so nice. How many times did you guys, you're on the phone or whatever, and you go to leave your room, and you forgot your card and your wallet or something because you're walking around. It's so nice that it's always on you. You leave the room, go back, forth. You go to the pool. You don't have to worry about taking anything. Mm-hmm. Just your band, so I like that part of it.
Yeah, I do like I love the band concept overall. It still has some issues.
But they do have enough employees, I will give them the credit, to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Did you ever get to do Under the Seas, The Journey with the Little Mermaid?
We did.
How'd you like that?
We liked it. You know, it's, you know, it's that same clamshell, you know, the ride as over in Epcot.
I told my wife that I liked it just because of it. They stuck with their roots a little bit on that.
Yeah, yeah, no, I would
agree. It's nice to have the Disney classics for the kids to grow up with. You know what I mean?
It's a nice little sit there. Yeah, like you said, the classic with the animatronics going.
And it's nice. Some of the newer animatronics really work nice. They're all smooth in there. You notice there's no clickety clack on any of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was very. I thought it was done very well.
Now, did you like that then? Because I told you made me go on
it. Yeah, I mean, again, for what it is and where it is, that's what you got to remember. I mean, I think for an attraction that, it, you know, obviously small kids that would be visiting that land, you know, it's good for them, but it's also good for adults. Not too thrilling, but something that's kind of fun and lighthearted. You know, when I went on it the first time, it had recently opened and the lines were fairly large for it, but I think now that it's been open for a while, I'm not going to say it's a walk-on, but certainly you can get on there fairly, you know, almost any time of day, or at least that's been my experience.
Yeah, we did Fast Pass for it just because we were banging out the Fast Passes because there was no Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and everything else pretty much, like when it said 40 minutes for us, we were on in 15.
Right. Right.
20. It wasn't, and I've said this a million times on here, Disney would rather you get on faster than longer. God forbid they tell you 40 and it's 50. That's when the anger begins.
Right, right.
Well, when they tell you 40 and you get on at 15, you're like, oh, my God, we got through here. You're great. You know, you're all happy, excited. You're pumped up that it didn't take that long. But when you're sitting there in that line and it don't move, there's some angry people going on, especially if you have kids.
When it's posted as 100 minutes, I'm not taking that chance that I'm going to get on in an hour.
We've all seen.
It's amazing how Peter Pan still holds. But all these rides, we figured we got there with Seven Dwarfs open, the whole new Fantasyland again, everything 100% operational. I'm swearing that Peter Pan's going to be 20 minutes. My hat's off to Peter Pan. That ride, I don't think I've ever seen that ride less than 50 minutes.
No, it's always.
Yeah, the only time it is if you you first enter the park and you do it right away. I mean, that's the only way I'll ride that now. And I did that not on the last trip, but the trip before. And, you know, I went directly, and I didn't run, obviously, but just walking quickly up Main Street. And I got there, and it was still 20, 30 deep by the time I got there. But, you know, it was a 5 or 10 minute wait. By the time I got off, the line was, you know, around the queue and outside. and there'd be no way I'd get in that line. You know, I don't get it. But, you know, I like the attraction. I mean, I guess just for sentimental reasons. But I would not wait in a line that's, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours long for it, like we used to wait for Soaring. I mean, you know, I guess Soaring still does get lines of that length when it's real busy. But, I mean, I've done it enough where I'm not getting in a line that long. I don't care what it is.
No, it was – we got on, and it's cool. When you're flying over the city and all, it's really cool. The technology of it was, like, cutting edge at its time when that ride came out. The flight simulate, the way you go over everything, it's cool. But I don't get the 50-minute wait. No. If it wasn't for FastPass, I wouldn't do it either. But hats off, it will. It's nonstop crowded there.
Actually, when one of the big rides went down, I think when Splash went down on us once, we used our FastPass. My wife said, "Oh, let's go into Peter Pan," and I'm sitting there saying, "What am I wasting a FastPass on this ride?"
Yeah, exactly.
but the queue line, it was 90 minutes.
It's crazy.
So I said, all right, let's go.
Yeah, my wife seen the Fast Pass line. She goes, look, there's nobody there. I said, Brian, that's not it. I said, she goes, how do you know? I said, because I could just look at that ride. If there's a line.
Right.
The only time we ever walked right on that line was my mother-in-law's 75th birthday. And we were down there when it was like, remember I told you guys we got frost certain nights?
Yep.
So the park was empty because it was so cold. Mm-hmm. And we were all cruising, like, on everything. I mean, we did everything with a 10-minute wait. Like, because I think it automatically has to say 5 or 10 minutes.
As a default,
even when there's nobody there. Yeah. But we were walking on everything. That was the only time ever. Even at Christmas time, the first week of December, when it's one of the slowest times of the year, the whole park could be empty. It'll be 50 minutes of Peter Pan.
Right, right.
I don't know what it is.
Absolutely.
Well, from what I understand, I mean, the thing that slows that ride up is the loading and offloading. I mean, it literally stops. And if you have elderly people with you or younger kids, where you know, sometimes it might stop for, you know, 20, 30 seconds in between ships taking off. And if you add that time up, you know, over the course of a day, that's why the line is so long. I mean, you couldn't have it like Haunted Mansion, or at least I don't think you could, where the ride vehicle continually moves. I mean, it'd just be too dangerous.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you get your head knocked
exactly.
off.
Exactly. So where it stops so much, that's why that ride backs up, you know, for the length of time that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I also think it's hard people getting in and out, because we're like, especially elderly. We were on my mother-in-law, and you're worried about her hopping out of that thing, especially little kids too.
Right.
It's nothing easy about that ride. No. So, did you do Hall of Presidents this trip?
We didn't. We did that as part of our last trip, and I think when we were walking by there, we actually were going to go eat dinner. This was. Well, on the second night, I said, no, let's go over there. And then the kids, you know, kind of poo-pooed that and said, let's go do Haunted Mansion, and then we'll run down and see if we can get on Big Thunder. I said, okay, you know, whatever you guys want to do. So.
And where'd you guys eat at the Magic Kingdom? Let me guess, Liberty Tree
Liberty
Tavern.
Liberty Tree Tavern, yeah. That's kind of our standby. You know, we love it. We've been going there, you know, since we forever, and we went there with the kids when it was still
character,
right? Yeah. Right. Mm. So
now, did you have an ADR or did you just do
we
walk
did.
Up?
No. Right. We had an ADR. So now I did. You know, I plan every dinner out just because, and there were no walk ups. You couldn't walk up. We had people walking up. I think that. I think our time was 4:30, and you know they open up there, I believe, around 4 o'clock, and they were just saying, "No, we're completely booked."
Wow.
Yeah, it was extremely busy that week, so we ate there. It was great, you know, as usual, but, you know, family style.
The trip to fan don't get you there, does it?
What's that?
The trip to fan.
It doesn't.
I ate there, man. I wanted to go to bed.
Ready for a nap.
it, like, knocked me out. There's something that, I mean, it was, the food there is awesome.
Yeah.
It is good, I have to admit, but the tryptophan will kind of take care of you. You want to go sit on one of the park benches
and
go take a nap.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're constantly running, so it doesn't really slow us down. And we eat it early enough to where it's not dark.
Yeah.
Out yet, so that doesn't affect us at all.
What are you saying, Doug? That 95-degree weather and a turkey dinner don't go together?
No, not for me, man. It puts me to sleep. Because we had it down there around. We went actually at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. We were down there first week of December, which was kind of part of it. You know what I mean? It made it all part of the holiday celebration, and that wasn't bad because we went outside. It was like, you know, 50 degrees at night.
Right.
So it kind of gave you a little bit of a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. If I did it during the summer, I'd go hit the bench and I'd be sleeping until the electrical parade woke me up.
Yeah, so we eat dinner there. Like I said, that was great as usual. And you know, we went back and we got on everything that we wanted to. We actually did both parks, everything in both nights.
Okay, that's nice.
In both days, we scheduled the Magic Kingdom for two nights or 2 days just because we thought that we were going to get there late that first day. So when I added that first day, it kind of opened up and gave us the whole window. So we actually did the entire Magic Kingdom park on both the first and second day. We were able to get on everything. So
don't you love how we change a trip all the time on our wives? I always had that day in the beginning.
I always,
it's like,
you know, I always do.
Because we drive down, and it always seems like we end up manipulating the schedule to get there. We're going to take 2 days, and we'll get here then.
Right.
We'll do take off this day, and it always seems like I get a day on the front end of the trip every time.
Well, you know, in working, you're sitting there saying, you know what, I don't want to leave right after work and drive all night and get there. But then as the trip gets closer, you're sitting there saying, I'd rather leave right after work and then have that whole extra day.
Right.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we do.
So that's what
I got her at her sister's. We were supposed to stop and stay at her sister's until like 8, 9, have breakfast. Next thing you know, we're leaving at 5 in the morning.
Right.
Because we get down there the day early.
Yeah.
Because we were going to stay at her sister's all day Thursday, which would have been fine. But it ended up being where I told the girls, I said, if we drop everything off, we get there Friday, then stay at Disney, we can get up first thing Saturday morning and have the week.
Right.
Like, it would give us a full, you know, you're waking up in bed to go to the park, like you were saying.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier than showing up that day and going to the
park.
Right,
right, right.
So, Scott, what did you think of the Festival of Fantasy Parade? Did you like it?
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting. I only saw part of it just because I was jumping in and out of the heat with the heat being what it was.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't sit there and watch it from beginning to end, but my wife really liked it. And,
sounds like you're not a big parade guy.
That's
Doug's strategy too. At least that's what he said. He never really stays to watch the parade, but more sees it fleeting moments as he's going from attraction to attraction.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'll try to watch, you know, the fireworks from a queue line of a line or being on Splash Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain while a lot of that stuff is going on.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We never even seen it went off when we were there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what we got to see when we were there, because I was looking for it, but it never went off. We seen the electrical parade the night we were there till 1 in the morning. The electrical parade was on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got to see, the original electrical parade, which we really love that.
Right.
You know, because that reminds my wife when she was a little girl.
Yeah.
So we stood and watched that for a little bit, but we never even seen the new parade at all. But I got to see the original electrical parade. You go figure on that.
Yeah.
I think it goes off at when it's busy. I think they run it twice, the Festival of Fantasy. But it's at 3 o'clock, at least I know that for sure. But I think on busy times or when the parks open late, they run it a second time as well.
But, I think when we were there, it only ran the one time, I think, 3 o'clock. Now, they ran the electrical parade ran twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what was running when we were there. I never seen that go off, and we were at the Magic Kingdom. We were there all day.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we left, and then we came back. So, and we were there past 4 o'clock the first day, and then we went home, showered, came back.
Right.
So, but
now what about snacks, Scott? Did you, and Doug, for that matter? Did you guys have any of the new snacks maybe that they offer over in Fantasyland or elsewhere in the park?
No, actually.
You were full of turkey, right?
You know, you would think that being so hot and, you know, with the weather being what it was, we would have used our snacks. We really didn't use the snacks that we, you know, we have the, you know, use the dining plan. So, you know, the last day we just loaded up on snacks for the drive home. It was strange. I think I used one snack, and that was for a Dole Whip on, I think, the first night. But I didn't use another snack the entire time I was there until, you know, we loaded up to leave. And the kids really weren't looking for any of the snacks. So we really didn't even take a look and see what new offerings there were.
Right.
Yeah, we did. We had the Dole Whips.
Mm-hmm.
We you know, had that, and it's, oh my God, the Dole Whip this trip because of the heat.
Mm.
I'll never do it again because I had it during the, I got brain freeze.
Oh, yeah.
I had so bad in my chest. It literally felt like I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten
sure.
that?
Yeah.
Where it goes down the wrong
uh-huh.
way, and it set in my chest. My wife was nervous, and we did the actual, we climbed the tree.
Oh, okay.
We did, because we haven't done that in a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And after we got done eating that, I climbed a tree to make sure my ticker was still good. To make sure I really wasn't having a heart attack. Yeah. And we ate at the Columbia Harbor House, which we always do. That's my go-to place. I love it there. And have you ever had the lobster roll there?
Me? No. Well, I don't eat seafood. So.
Oh, that's right. Dan, have you ever had that?
No, I have not. I generally get the tuna, but I was hoping you were going to get the seafood macaroni and cheese, which...
It wasn't on the menu when
I
was there.
Right, right.
Was not available. I wanted to get it too, but so then I decided to get the lobster roll, and that was absolutely out of this world. I highly recommend that. And that's the only other snack we got at the Magic Kingdom. My wife got the Starbucks. I sent you pictures then.
Yeah, I mean, we all do this when we're planning for our trip. You might read up or, you know, hear about some things or even make a little short list like the pork shank over at Gaston's.
Mm-hmm. We meant to grab that. It's just the way the way you get pushed to tour with everything going on with us not being able to get Fast Pass and everything else. We had a tour totally different for there.
Right, and obviously once you get into it, and I know exactly what you mean, you're not touring the park based on where the snacks are in all likelihood.
Right.
You're touring on, you know, what you need to get done or what you want to get done, and if it's convenient you happen to end up somewhere where there's something you want to try, you probably do it. If it's on the other side of the park, you're probably not going to hoof it all the way over to the other side just to get a pork shank or whatever it might be.
Right.
No, we got some treats at the bakery. Now, I'm not hating the Starbucks. You know what? My wife paid more. We paid more for Starbucks on the way down on 95 than we did at the parks. Is that crazy?
Really?
We stopped at a place on the way back in South Carolina to get her Starbucks in the morning. Or North Carolina, Georgia. It was 40 cents more on 95 than it was at the Magic Kingdom.
For the same exact item?
For the same exact medium Starbucks. Because I don't know. It's a medium to me. It's not a tall, small roll, frate, It's a medium drink.
Right.
You know, I don't know the lingo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're individually owned franchises where they can set their own price point. I mean, I really don't know, but I guess that's true. If they were the same everywhere, you would
have
paid the same.
It might have to do with the taxes on certain things in different states, too. But, yeah, the Disney World Starbucks was cheaper than 95. You figured that one out.
You don't usually hear Disney World and cheaper in the same sentence.
I'll be honest with you. The meals weren't bad, and we'll get into that when we do my trip report then, but the meals aren't the problem there. It's the $5 for a pack of mints. Or $5 for this, but the food that we ate, the actual food itself, for the amount that they give you, I don't think it's a problem. It's all the snacks and if you get a drink, like we had a couple drinks the one night watching Yeehaw Bob for three drinks was like $30.
Right.
That's where they get you, because each drink was $12 and my beer was $6. So plus tip, you're talking $36.
Right.
Yeah, I know I've said this before. My son's a chef and he's in the restaurant business, and you know he was sharing some stuff with me. And most restaurants, that's where they don't real. Generally speaking, they break even on the entree. Where they make their money is on appetizers, desserts, and alcohol or drinks. That's where the profit margin is in the food industry.
And I served. I was a bartender. I don't really get mad at it because, and I'll go into my restaurant reviews, but, I had the beer to one night, and it's $6.
Mm-hmm.
And people say $6 for beer. I could drink it for three. I can get a six-pack for that.
Right.
But my thing is you got to pay the server. You got to pay the guy that delivered the beer and put it the bar back that puts it in the ice. Like, that ain't free.
Yeah, and you're paying.
The restaurant's paying for these people to – the beer gets delivered from the truck. Then a guy that works for the restaurant carries it in. Am I wrong? Then the bar back puts it in the cooler. Then the bartender has to take it out of the cooler and hand it to the waitress. Then the waitress walks there. All these people have to get paid.
Right, and you're paying part of Bob's salary. I mean, you can look at it like that. I mean, in the you know, example of the River Roost, I mean, generally speaking, when you go out, you're paying for the atmosphere and the other offerings, whatever they might be, a band, music, entertainment, or, you know, just the waiter and waitresses bringing the stuff to, you know, right to you. I mean, there's a cost associated with that, and that's what you're paying for.
But when you're there, everything – I never have gotten a class that was dirty at Disney. Have you guys?
No, I can't say that.
Not that I recall.
No.
Have you ever returned a plate because it was dirty? Or I mean, I really don't do that. I mean, my wife has gotten a hair and she won't return it then. But what I'm getting at, mostly you sit down, you're not sitting in a mess at any of their restaurants.
Right.
You know, I'll go to the local Applebee's or Laird Lobster and I'll go to sit down and there's half the meal still on my chair.
Right.
I'm not being smart, but – I usually don't run into that when I'm at Disney World.
Right.
So that's the thing. But people got to look that there are people getting – that are paying – you're paying for their job. It isn't that you're paying just for that beer. And I know it sucks, but that's how it is.
Well, I always – I mean, we've talked about this before. And anybody I advise on taking going to Disney World, don't – you know, if you start off the sentence, oh, I want to go cheaply or I don't want to pay a lot to go. I mean, I stop them right there and say, look, Disney World is not cheap. You're going to pay a premium for almost everything you do. You just got to accept that fact and move on from there. Because if you go into it saying I'm not going to pay $3 for a bottle of water or whatever it might be, you're going to have a miserable time.
No, and the other thing is I tell a million people, and Scotty knows this in our area, if you just stayed home, Scott, and went out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day, you'd spend as much as you spend for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely.
So that's where they get you. Just don't buy. If you're upset, then bring a backpack and take your bottle of water in because they're going to get you $2.50 for a bottle of water.
Right.
$2.50 for a – I bought every day, I bought a Coke. Yeah. A bottle because I wanted a bottle because I put the 12-pack cans in the refrigerator at the resort. Mm-hmm. But every morning I would go into the park and I'd buy a 12-pack. I'd buy a $2.50 bottle of soda. And it's just what it is. It sucked. I could get a 12-pack for $3.
Right.
But – that's my promise. So if you don't want that, freeze some bottles and take them in the park with you. Because they don't frown upon you bringing it.
No.
You want mints? Bring them from home. Mm-hmm. That's all. I mean, but if not, you're going to pay $4 for a pack of mints.
Right.
So where'd you go the second day, Scotty, after the Magic Kingdom?
After we did the Magic Kingdom, we went over to Epcot. And so we had fast passes for, Test Track, the Maelstrom, and Mission Space. Couldn't get anything for Soarin'.
So, that's crazy.
Well, you know, over there you can either get Soarin'
or
Test
Track.
So my wife, you know, she loves both. So the time for Test Track just worked in better. I wish I had gotten the Soarin' one because that's the only ride that the only attraction we were never able to get on.
Okay.
The queue line for that was, I think, at 110 minutes. Mm. So the standby.
Ugh. Yeah, it's
so
crazy.
So we just said forget that.
I'll be honest with you. The more time goes on, I like the new Test Track more than the old one.
Yeah, obviously the track and the layout is everything is exactly the same as it was before. It's just, you know, obviously visually different, but it's still, you know, it always was, in my opinion, a great attraction, and it still is.
It's amazing when you hit that last turn, you're always hoping it does stop.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Yeah,
no, you get going there pretty good, and you have that feeling, is it going to stop? You're right.
You hit that last bend because it's like a blind bend, so you don't see the door, and you're like, it's going to stop, right? It's going to. And it always does, and it has that old-school braking. Like, the brakes on that thing remind you of like a 1960s hot rod.
Right.
You're right.
There's no anti-lock or any. It's, for all the technology that they talk about, it feels like an old car stopping.
Right. Yeah.
You know, with that drag, it isn't a smooth stop.
No, not at all. Not at
no,
all.
No, that's the only thing that cracks me up. Every time I'm on that, I'm like, man, they got the old drum brakes on this car.
So, Scott, you paid your final respects to Maelstrom?
We did, thankfully. Thankfully. You know, my kids always, for whatever reason, like that ride. So that was one of the options for the fast passes when I set it up. So we set that up and went on, and, you know, I come to find out later, you know, actually, I guess they officially announced it last week.
Yeah, they announced it during my trip, yeah. And thank God I already had FastPass for it, because I had them linked up already for a couple of days, because we always spend almost every night back at Epcot.
Yeah.
It's like tradition for us. Mm-hmm. We do every other park during the day, and we usually end up at Epcot at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do one night at the Magic Kingdom, you know what I'm saying? Right. But we're always back at Epcot. That's like our place. And thank God I already had it, because once that was announced, it was like a buzz of bees. Like, knowing the cartoon where you had that big cloud
right.
of bees. That's what Epcot was like, a cloud of bees headed for Maelstrom.
Right.
You'd think they were giving something free away.
Right. So,
what's your opinion on that, Scott, real quick, as far as replacing it with Frozen? Are you for it, against it? What's your thoughts?
I'm not a Frozen person. My wife likes the movie.
Do you want to build a snowman?
I could take it or leave it, I guess. You know, I just hate to see them go. It seems like with this movie, they're going all in. You know, you've got mm-hmm. the Frozen fireworks, you know, you've got things over it. The studio's frozen this, frozen that, everything, you know.
They're hoping it's Sir Harry Potter, what it looks like.
Well, that's.
And it's pretty close to it, though, dude.
Yeah, but, you know, it'll fizzle out at some point, and it'll go away. But I'm not a big Frozen guy. You know, how they'll set it up, who knows. But I guess the theming would fit.
Mm-hmm. I think, my opinion is, yeah. I think that whole, and this is just me, and I said it to Dennis the other night. My biggest fear is, and it's a fear and also excitement. I'm not sure. I liked the movie more than I think you did. I enjoyed it. My wife loves it. And my godson, Donnie, his two daughters. Mm-hmm. So I, with them all the time running around, she runs around as Anna and Elsa all the time. She loves
it. Right.
So to see with the little kids, I think it's a little different perspective.
Sure.
But I think they're going to turn the whole area into Arendelle.
Maybe.
I think you might see a castle. I think that whole area might be taken down, and I'll miss the. I hope it don't, because I'll miss the church, the Kringle mm-hmm. Bakery. I mean, the school bread's ridiculous.
Right.
You know, my wife, we're going to be making that at home.
Okay.
But it's just the point. I just don't want them to go too kid. I think they're trying to turn Epcot a little bit more kid friendly, and I don't like that. as bad as that sounds.
No,
yeah.
And we covered this before, Doug. I mean, in my view, that's the whole point of having all that land down there and having right now four major theme parks. I mean, there's room for everything. Everything doesn't have to be quote-unquote Mickey Mouse or
right.
you know, kid – and not kid-friendly. That's not the way. All of Disney World
no,
is kid-friendly.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
you know
but
getting,
there can,
like kid,
there can be – Yeah, but there can be adult areas or more geared towards adult or that, you know, the buzzword they used to use, the edutainment, if you will, which is what Epcot was – meant to be, or at least that was the vision early on. I mean,
if they make the building still scale to or look like to fit in, if they did Arendelle, the castle, and still make it look like all the other countries, I could live with it. I just don't want to see them throw a Fantasyland area in the middle of Epcot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I disagree with you. I don't think they're going to tear down the pavilion. I think they'll keep the architecture there because they have to hedge their bet. I mean, like Scott said, Frozen is hot right now, but 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road, I mean, it'll still be in the stable of beloved Disney movies, don't get me wrong, but when it's not as hot, they got to be able to still represent Norway, in my view, and
right.
I don't think they would tear down the Stave Church, or, you know, they could still put the attraction in there and keep to the Norway theme, you know, even though, you know, Arendelle is a fictitious place, but
right.
I don't see them adding to or demolishing any parts of the pavilion, to be honest with you.
See, yeah, see, I think because of all the problems they're having with Norway, they're going to turn it into, it's their opportunity because they own all the rights and everything. It's their, they can do whatever they want there now.
Well, yeah.
Norway has no hold on that right now because apparently they haven't been paying for that from what I've been reading.
That's true.
They haven't sponsored that resort in a while. So what would make them keep the Kringle Bakery and all that stuff?
Well, because it's supposed to represent the world showcase and
right.
Norway is part of the showcase. I mean, that with that logic, you could say, well, you know, in Japan or whatever, we're going to, you know, theme it to Mulan. We're going to tear it down and put up, you know.
But that's my point. Who knows? This might not be a first step towards that. I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate. You don't know what they're – I'm scared of what they're going to do with this. And I don't think Frozen – I mean, I'm on the other side. I think Frozen's here to stay for a long time. I mean, look at you, Scott, with your Star Wars. You're still in love with it, what, 30 years later?
Oh, sure.
So you don't know this. The Frozen has been such a massive hit. I think daughters from to grandparents are going to pass this movie down now.
Well, yeah. No, I think that you know you've certainly got Disney movies like say the Lion King. The Lion King was massive back when that was out. But you know where's it at now? You know, it's
they decided because they just tailed off on making
yeah.
at the
well,
point.
Well,
I think if they'd have did 2, 3, and 4, like kept it going.
Well, they did.
They did.
No, they did 2, but they didn't do anything after that. And 2 was pretty good too.
They did 2.5 also.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Toy Story though, Toy Story's still living large.
It is, but it's not what it was. You know, Toy Story isn't what it was in 1997 when it came out.
But I think what also made Frozen, and I said this to my wife, compared to the other ones, like with Toy Story, it's on, it's the beginning of our show, and it's on my iPhone. You got a friend in me. But besides that, you don't really remember any other song. The thing that I also think made Frozen is the soundtrack is like ridiculously addictive. Mm-hmm. Like even if you don't like it, you know the music.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but what I would say is, and to me, this is where the rub is, and I'll say it. I loved the movie Frozen. I've seen it multiple times. We went to the theater to see it when it came out. I don't have a problem with Frozen.
Yeah.
I have a problem of where they're putting it.
I
said this as well. If they'd like, build a fifth gate, make a Frozen theme park. I'd be all for that. I don't have a problem in the world. If everything you say, Doug, is true and this is going to be what they call an evergreen franchise and they're going to make more movies, which we think they will, and they see the...
Oh, they're already in the can.
Right.
They're already making two.
Right. What I'm saying, I don't have a problem with that, but don't shoehorn it into Epcot in a world showcase that it isn't meant to be. I mean, put it in the studios. Put it somewhere else. That's my issue. It's where they're putting it, not that they're putting it, if that makes any sense.
I agree wholeheartedly with you, but I'm just thinking that, okay, if they're going to really mess with World Showcase, I think they're going to go, you know what, to the wall.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to put it there, I don't think they're going to do it a half, not with Frozen. I don't see them doing the same thing they did with Nemo over at this Living Seas. Mm-hmm. Just making a little tiny change to it. This is their first announcement of something they're going to build. Do you think they're going to do it half-hearted?
I do, because if you look at the construction timeline. In my view, and I don't know this, obviously, you're going to have this. Maybe they'll change the boats, paint them, or whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to have the same track layout. It'll be a water attraction, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the, you know, it's going to be essentially the same. So
right.
They are going to kind of do it on the cheap because if they were truly building a brand new attraction, it would be more than a year before it would be open. To me, there's not enough time to do a full
I hope you're right, but there's always pushbacks, moves, changes.
Things can change.
Yeah.
Things
can change. Downtown Disney changed 3 times, didn't it?
We can only hope.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it stays the same, too, but I'm talking on the other side of the fence here. Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, what they're talking about, we've seen Illuminations 2 times. I'm sad as hell that they might be getting rid of that.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah.
No. I was thinking, but you know, that's been, you know, obviously there's been tweaks and changes, and but it's been essentially the same thing year after year after year. So I think that they do need to refresh Illuminations.
Okay, now during Frozen, didn't they have fireworks and all that during that?
What do you mean during Frozen?
In the movie?
I don't.
Who's to say they ain't going to do some kind of Frozen fireworks spectacular to go with the new Norway Pavilion, with all this stuff being announced at the same time?
Well, they've got the Frozen, they've got that
fireworks
over the studios.
Over the studios.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the way they're going, I mean, who knows? What I'm getting at is we don't know where they're going with it. They're changing everything at World Showcase right now. We don't know where it's going to end up in a year or two from now.
No.
It's the most changes I've ever seen down there, like we said at the beginning of the show.
I just think that it would be a rat, you know, in what you're you know, saying is such a radical change in direction from where
I hope it don't go that way.
Portion of Epcot has always been.
They better not. I agree with you guys. I don't want it to, but could you imagine if they did, is what my point is.
Yeah, and I guess how I'd put it like this, and we kind of touched on it at the beginning, it's just so happens that Norway, you know, Disney was having an issue with Norway, the country, as far as support for the pavilion, and it, you know, the movie happened to be based on, you know, loosely, you know, set in Norway. So I think those things lining up. I mean, how can I say it? I don't think they would ever put a Toy Story attraction in Norway or something that didn't fit. That would be totally, you know, out of whack with what's going on. It just so happens that the stars aligned and these two or three things happened all at the same time. So it's an opportunity that presented itself.
Right.
Yeah, they also have I mean, I know you've heard about it. Now they're also taking the cruise to Norway in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I know that's going to be announced pretty soon. I mean, this is just me speculating, but I would bet anything on it there's going to be some kind of Frozen show on that boat.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's pretty
quinky
dink. It's the first time in the history of Disney Cruise Line that I've been selling trips and stuff that they've had a booklet come out with itinerary for 2014-2015. Disney usually comes out 10, 11, 12. They do 1 year of itinerary. They never put a break in between. They shoehorned this Norway trip in. So I've never seen anything like it with the Disney Cruise Line. So I'm pretty much thinking there's going to be some kind of Anna and Elsa on that boat. Wouldn't you guys agree with me?
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, most likely, and I'd be willing to bet that Frozen will eventually be a Broadway show, and it deserves to be because the musical
that was already announced.
The musical score is, like you said, it's very catchy, and there's a lot of opportunity there. And again, to loop back to my earlier point, I don't have a problem with Frozen. It's just where they decided to put this one particular attraction, and it just, you know, not that it's irritating me, but I hear this argument back and forth that other people are making that if somebody disagrees with Frozen going into Norway, you're a Frozen hater, and that I just want to be clear that that's not my position. It's just I don't want it there. I have no problem. No. You can make a Frozen parade. You can make a Frozen resort. I'll stay there. I don't have a problem with it. Just don't put it in my World Showcase.
It's also
I hope they do it tastefully.
It's also a way to get the young kids into Epcot too.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason I'm afraid that they're going to do more with World Showcase, because World Showcase is one of the few places that we go at night. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel congested in World Showcase?
No.
Well, I think Disney knows that too.
Yeah.
You know, when Future World, you know, they want more people back. If you're back in the back there where Norway is, you're drawing people to World Showcase, which means you're buying stuff as you're walking around. So I'm afraid they're trying to make it – I'm not saying kid-friendly, but more kid-oriented back there. We're with kids, and they're not as interested in a World Showcase. That's their studios to me.
Right. No.
You know, that's the last place I want to be a lot on my trip. And I love it. I love it. I love studios, but out of all the things to do down there, that's my least favorite of all the parks. Yeah. So I think the kids, their least favorite place to be is World Showcase. When you put them on the Canadian 360. How many kids have you seen or at the Japan Pavilion watching the movie or any of them or the China movie? Do you ever see kids really that interested?
No.
And that's a problem. Your kid's miserable when you're making them watch a 360 movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but plus, I think that – oh, go ahead, Scott.
No, I'm saying – I was just going to say, you know, the problem with those 360 movies is that you have to stand the entire time.
Exactly, but what I'm saying is there's nothing really kid-friendly except for the kid-cot area.
No. Yeah, right, exactly.
But again,
and I don't want it to change. I know you guys don't want it to change, but Disney sees there's money not being spent if kids don't want to be back there.
I agree with what you said, Doug, but I also, if you look at the big pictures, particularly in World Showcase, I mean, I think the last, let's say, 5 to 7 years, Epcot has done an awesome job at bringing these different events in. Food and Wine has become so popular. Flower and Garden in the spring. They've tailored it, or at least presented some offerings to families, you know, not with small kids, obviously. We're just talking World Showcase now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But certainly, you know, families with teenagers or young adults or whatever, where you can have some more adult-related activities, whether it's, you know, fine dining or whether it's enjoying the festivals or whatever. But, and again, I keep coming back to it. I mean, I can only speak to what I see when I go down there. I mean, there's times at Food and Wine where you better believe it's congested in World Showcase.
Sure.
It's shoulder to shoulder.
It is.
And again, I keep going back to this. I don't see why it has to be all or nothing. I mean, every area, in my view, doesn't have to be for everybody. Just like we talked about Fantasyland before. I mean, I'm going there on this next trip, and I've gone there in the past when my kids were small. But once I see the Mine Train and all that stuff, I mean, I'm as an empty nester, if you will, my wife and I mean, yeah, we might ride Mine Train or something like that, but that's not where we're going to spend the majority of our time. It's going to be at World Showcase. But my family's different now, and I get that. And I know Disney's looking out for everybody, and they want young kids to come, so they'll bring their kids, and it's a generational thing. But I just don't see why they have to, in my view, destroy is probably a strong word, but mess with World Showcase to placate, you know, kids that are 3 or 4 years old. That's not what it was designed for. And I just, you know, you have a whole Magic Kingdom park for that. If you love the movies, you have the studios. If you love animals, we got a zoo. It is not a zoo, I know, Doug. But you know what I'm saying? There's something for everyone there. And I just don't see why you got to throw glitter, you know, no pun intended, on the World Showcase. Now, does it need to be updated? Do the 360 movies either need to be redone or replaced with some other technology? Absolutely. I'm not saying I'm against that, but in my view, an animated movie to be featured in one of the pavilions in World Showcase is oil and water, in my view. It just doesn't belong.
I hear you, and I agree with you, but I think they're on the way to try to make it more kid-friendly back there, because they would without the Frozen ride, besides Maelstrom, and then you got the Mexican ride, which is, I enjoy it, because it is what it is. I've been going on it since, it's like I go on it every time out of necessity, because I feel like I should, because I've done it so many times.
Right.
But the point of it is name one thing back there that a kid under the age of 10 years old wants to go see.
But that's just it. That's not the point of World Showcase. It isn't about attractions. It's about culture, and it's about learning.
I understand that, and I agree with you. But my point is there's other parents that wants their kids to go back there and do something. Like, I think the 360 ride, like Scott was saying with Mulan at Japan, or something in China, I think that would be an upgrade over the movies, as long as they did it tastefully. So I don't think – if you're back there at Food and Wine and your 2 12-year-olds are going to hop on a couple rides while you're standing at the kiosks, or is going to hurt anything.
Right. Well,
because you're not doing half of that. When's the last time you did any of the movies?
Last trip.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because it's been a long time
just
for
being
me.
Honest.
Yeah. It's been a long time for me because I've seen them so many times.
Yeah. Right. But I would argue, or I would add to the argument, that that's the beauty of Epcot, because you have Future World up front that has plenty of attractions, world-class attractions, Soarin', Test Track, Mission Space, there are attractions in Epcot. You don't have to, you know, again, destroy, it's not the correct word to use, but you don't need to tread on World Showcase. There's plenty of attractions in that park.
I don't want to change either, but I'm looking at it, if I'm at Disney and I'm thinking of ways we could make it better, in their opinion, Disney, first of all, was for kids. So I'm just saying, I can't blame them in a way for trying to plus it. If they do it the right way, I'm hoping they make Frozen again, kind of like it's part of Norway, and you're learning something still about that country as you're doing this ride. And I don't want to see them do the facade all Fantasyland. Look, and I'm hoping they keep it with the facade that World Showcase always had. And I think the way they designed this ride is going to tell you a lot of the future of World Showcase, is what my whole point was.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? At least which direction they're going to go will tell you a lot by what this ride becomes.
I do. And I did say this early on that, you know, even with all the opinions we all just gave, I mean, we truly won't be able to say, good, bad, or indifferent until we actually ride the attraction. So I suppose they could integrate Frozen, Frozen's going to be in there, but there still could be some cultural references or opportunities to still, learn about Norway and that within the attraction itself. But that remains to be seen.
Hope they keep the Kringle Bakery. You got any last thoughts, Scott, on that?
On the Norway area?
Yeah.
No, I would agree that, like I said, I think that this is just another way to get the younger kids to make Epcot appeal to some of the younger kids and get them back into that area. I would agree with you on that. But I don't think that they're going to radically change World Showcase.
But if you remember with the original architecture, this is my argument too, mm-hmm. is when they originally put out the plans for Epcot, Japan and Germany were both supposed to have major attractions. Sure. And it never came to fruition.
Right.
So it was always planned to have major rides back
sure.
there. They just went on the cheap side and didn't do it because the countries didn't want to go forward with building this stuff.
Right.
Well, how do we know that this is the start of them starting to go forward with building the attractions that they were originally supposed to have?
Right.
But again, those attractions, if you, read back on Disney history, were going to marry up with or be part of the culture. I think they had a gondola ride in Italy, and mm-hmm. there was a couple of things that, again, would
right.
have took you on a tour of the rivers or the countries.
But the one was supposed to be a roller coaster in Germany.
Right, and it was going to go through the German countryside.
Exactly.
And, again, it was going to
– that would have been something that kids would have wanted to do.
Right. But again,
so that's what I'm saying. I hope they – I would like to see them update it, make it – keep it the way it is, but also make it more – kid friendly where you want to do things there, because it would be nice not to have how old Soren now, 15, 16 years old? There's still an hour wait for it. An hour and 10 minutes Scott's waiting because there's not enough E stuff there to draw people away. It's either Soren or Test Track in the whole park.
No, I agree. No. I'm not against
that's
new attractions.
My point.
That's my
the
point.
Two major ones. Like, we all love Spaceship Earth. I never miss it. But who has ever had a wait to go on Spaceship Earth?
Oh, I have. Now that
yeah.
the FastPass Plus, there's a big wait for Spaceship Earth now.
Yeah, I think it was about 30 minutes.
We walked right on it because I actually had FastPass because it was one of the three you had to pick. But what my point is, besides Soarin' and Test Track, there's no major other
sure.
attraction. And I love Epcot. I don't need it. But what I'm saying is, when you're dragging kids over there, you're with the family, you're grown up like me now. But Scott was there with his teenage kids. Epcot wasn't always their favorite, was it, Scott?
Not always, no. No.
No. I mean, that's the point. You want to be – it would be nice if you're with your teenagers. They're looking at – if you have teenagers there, they're not wanting to be at Epcot after Soarin' and Test Track.
Right.
But if they add some major attractions to the countries, why mom and dad's enjoying food and wine and stays there longer, the kids are actually doing something. They don't want to learn about Italy. They want to go. You got to make kids learn about Italy by making a ride that might attract them.
Right. My 14-year-old really couldn't care less about walking through World Showcase.
Exactly, and that's my point. Like, what is there for a 14 to do in Italy besides eat a piece of pizza? Does he care or does she care? Like, the girl might care about the bags and the perfume.
Yeah.
Which, what's a boy? You drop a boy in there with no, tell him he can't eat the food. What's he going to do there?
Yeah.
Now, I love it there. We've roamed every shop this last year.
Right.
But what I'm getting at is teenagers don't want to be drugged through World Showcase. You're not leaving them alone all the time.
Right.
You want them to be part of your family. You want to have fun through World Showcase, where it's easier for a child, or once the kids get in their 20s, now they appreciate it again, their late teens.
Right.
But that teenager between 12 and 18 years old is not going to enjoy that.
Right.
But, and being so they're not going to enjoy it, that stops their parents from going there. Because there's nothing worse than a miserable kid, is there?
Only a miserable adult.
Exactly.
A miserable wife.
Exactly. But that's my point. I don't want to change, but I would like to see them add more attractions back there.
Doug, we're going round and round here, and you make some great points. But again, I feel that you're trying to portray my argument that I'm against putting attractions in World Showcase, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm against putting Frozen in the Norway Pavilion. If they want to put a gondola ride in Italy, I'll be there to run the jackhammer to start pouring the foundation. That's not my point.
But as long as they do Frozen where it fits it,
right.
Like I said, if it don't look like Fantasyland, Dan, I think you'll enjoy it more than what... Did you even know what Maelstrom was? Pretend that was a cartoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, as long as they do it tastefully, I'm on board for it, is my point. And I get your point. I don't want it. I love it the way it is, too, Dan.
Well, time will tell, as they say, and we'll all see exactly what it is, and, you know.
So where'd you go next, Scotty, as we got off on our tangent, which is this, we're all drunk at the bar right now?
Well, we walked through World Showcase, and... You know, my sons actually don't mind World Showcase too much because they both took German in school, so they like going through the Germany pavilions there and looking at all of that stuff. So, but, you know, my wife and I, you know, we like walking through all of the shops and, you know, we'll pick up little things here and there. But, you know, we walked through World Showcase. We had dinner. Reservation over at Le Cellier, so we had our. That's another one of our mainstays there.
You did the two dining plans.
Wow,
a high roller.
as much as it pains me to do that, but it's just a great. It's a great.
I love
dinner.
The restaurant,
yeah,
dude. We all do.
You know, it's you know, obviously very tough to get into, but you know, there's not a lot of people down there. There's, you know, and the food is great, and, you know.
What did you get this time?
I wound up getting the filet.
That's what I always get, 9 times out of 10.
So I got
good
I got the filet, and that was great. You know, the kids don't appreciate it. You know, my wife and I love it. The kids don't appreciate it, but, you know, it was, you know, a great meal as always. You know, we had a new server who... was in training, so that was a little trepidatious, but it wound up being he did a pretty good job. So, but we had a very late dinner, and I think our dinner was about 7:20. So, you know, obviously, by the time we're all done there, Illuminations is getting ready to go, and everything else is shutting down. Yeah, that's one thing that kind of drives me crazy. You've got Illuminations, which is going, and all of the shops are all closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that over at the Magic Kingdom 2. The park closed, I think, when we were there at about 11 o'clock, and they're starting to run the second parade, electrical parade. You can't buy a drink. You can't buy – everything is closed. They shut everything down.
No, we didn't have that problem on our trip. That's weird.
Everything was closed, you know, towards the back of the park. You know, you had your Main Street was still open, but that was it.
Okay.
Every other car.
Okay, yeah, a lot of the kiosks in the back do shut down.
Everything was closed except for the shops on Main Street.
Yeah, well, you know why they do that, right?
Oh, they're just trying to get everybody out.
Yeah, they don't want you meandering in the back.
But if you're there watching the parade.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right. I mean, it must just have – it's a simple, mathematics problem. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they probably don't want to pay the cast members to stay. The sales don't, justify having the cast members. But it's right. The same thing at Epcot. They shut everything down, the kiosks and stuff, but Mouse Gear is open. So if you do want to shop, just like Main Street that you guys were saying, they funnel everyone down through there. I mean, far be it from Disney to not want to sell, merchandise. So it seems counterproductive, but I guess, those outlying areas with the small kiosks or the smaller stores, it doesn't make sense to staff them until an hour after or whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah, they keep also the that little store at International Gateway. That's always open. Yeah.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen that store close. Is that open 24 hours?
It's always open. Open when I get there, even if it's an hour before a rope drop, and it's always open when I leave.
I've never seen that store closed. Yeah. I mean, I think it should say they should have a 24-hour sign in it. So what else? Did the wife get the same thing as you?
Yeah. Everybody wound up getting the same thing. So, everybody loved the meal.
That Parmesan butter sauce is the bomb diggity, isn't it?
It is very good. It is very good. You know, the pretzel bread and...
Oh, you can't go wrong. It's awesome there. I love the restaurant. I think they went, like, with the Dining Planet, don't hit you as hard, especially when you get free dining. But just the prices, I and like we talked about, we don't want to talk cheap, but when you go there, if you didn't do the Dining Plan, Scott, it's like through the family. How many of you were there?
There were five of us, and I think the bill...
What was the tip, $100 for
you? It was... I want to say the bill itself was close to $300.
Okay.
And then.
So you had about a $75 tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's that's the problem with it. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, we go down for free dining, we never miss eat. We'll go there. A lot of times we go on the fence on if we pay for it because we don't know if it's worth two plans. You go back and forth on that.
Yep.
But the food is exquisite. It just they've gone a little too far with the price. Yeah. $46 for a flight. I just made three on the grill for $17.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean that were almost as good, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's Rob. You know, 46 times five, dude. Jesus, 50. That's 250 without drinks.
Right. Right.
And you probably had a beer, didn't you?
I had a glass of wine with the with the steak. So.
No, if your wife and you, there's $7 a glass of wine or $8, whatever that is. Kids drink, did you have an appetizer or no?
No, okay. We didn't get.
Because we never do either. The pretzel bread is
that's
enough.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, I had the pretzel bread and the other bread, and that was good enough.
I mean, years ago when the prices were still on the up and up, we always used to get the seared scallops because we enjoyed that, or we'd split something.
Right.
But. We haven't done the seared scallops in a lot of years. What about you, Dan? You've gotten appetizers there lately?
Yeah, my last, the one I did the dining review for, that's exactly what I got, was the seared scallops for the appetizer, and they were very good. Delicious, in fact.
Yeah, we've never had even a bad bite of our meal there. That's how good the food is there. I mean, everything has always been good. The only thing I will say was bad one time was I wasn't happy with the s'mores.
Okay.
You guys ever gotten the s'mores for the dessert?
I have not.
Yeah, we had gotten those previously.
Yeah, they're hit or miss. We've gotten them a couple times, but the one time we got it, just it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It wasn't melted right. It wasn't, it just wasn't, it was like eating a chocolate graham cracker.
Right, right.
It wasn't tasteful.
Okay.
So, but we've gotten other things there. It was really good. But the s'mores, that's their like dish, that's their go-to dessert, supposedly, and they weren't that good. I don't even think they have it on the menu anymore.
I don't think so. I don't recall seeing that on there. They had another smoked chocolate pie or cake on there.
Yeah, they have a caramel milk chocolate bar, a citrus olive oil cake, a pineapple sorbet, a Meyer's lemon curd tort, and a no-sugar added strawberry panna cotta. So they don't even have it on the menu, but that was like that's what everybody would push there when we used to eat there. S'mores was like their dessert.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
Right.
That was the only thing I could say I would disagree with. The only problem, I was so full it didn't matter anyway. But
yeah,
with the free dining, you get it, you know?
Yeah, that's why you guys are talking about the desserts. Usually I take the approach, I say I'll get a snack around the World Showcase somewhere and walk off a little bit of the meal before I attack a dessert. But I guess if you're getting it with free dining, it makes all the sense in the world to get it there.
Right, right. Yeah, so for the dessert, I had just gotten the sorbet. I was full. I was completely full. So I just went small.
I think Disney hit a gold mine with that because me and Brendan never got desserts ever at the parks until we got free dining.
Oh yeah.
And then a lot of times now we're splitting dessert because we feel like we're missing something.
Right.
And we never eat dessert at home. Do you guys ever eat dessert at a restaurant?
Usually not.
Mm-mm.
It's like 1% in my whole lifetime. And now at Disney World, I feel like I have to have dessert. It's like they spread the addiction to you.
Well, you're paying it as part of the dining plan, at least for me. So I'm going to get every penny
you're
can.
You're going to shove it in there, loosen that belt up and put it
or
in.
Or at least I'm going to get a taste of it or somebody, the kids will eat it.
Now, where did you go after that? Did you watch Illuminations?
We did. We watched Illuminations and then, caught the bus back to the resort. And then that's where my trip hit rock bottom.
So tell everybody what happened to you, Scott, as we end the show.
Well, as I we exited the bus, as I said, we were staying over at Old Key West. So we exited the bus and we were going back towards our room. And over at Old Key West, they don't have any sidewalks. They have it out at the main street, but the way that the rooms are set up or the buildings are set up, there's really no sidewalks. You walk down the driveway areas to where you park, and then you walk up on the sidewalk, which leads directly to your building. So we were – my son and I were running down the – driveway area, and in the middle of the street, and it was fairly dimly lit, which a lot of Key West is. There is a storm grate right in the middle of the street, and I didn't see it, and I tripped. I tripped on that thing and went down and completely shattered my left elbow and fractured my right elbow. And that was it. My trip was over.
Oh, you poor thing.
Now, did the ambulance come, the whole nine yards? Or?
No, what happened was...
He peeled himself off the
I peeled myself up. Now, I just kind of lied there for a second and, being a guy sitting there saying, what?
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, get up, walk it off. But I laid there and I said, something's not right. I must have, I figured I fell down. I hyperextended probably both of my elbows. No big deal. But it was extremely painful.
I bet.
I believe it.
So we get up. And we go into the room. They go get me ice for both elbows. And the one elbow, the right elbow, I've got some movement in, but it's still very painful. The left elbow, it just kind of locked in place there. And after about an hour, I said to my wife, let's go. Let's go to the hospital.
it's not working.
Because I'm feeling it, and it feels more like it was dislocated. I thought that's what it was. I thought it was just dislocated because I felt a bump where there shouldn't have been a bump.
That's not good.
And the arm was locked. So we go over to the hospital. We go down to, I think it's the Orlando Hospital in Kissimmee. Not in Kissimmee, in Celebration. And you're waiting in the emergency room, and there's 30 people there with colds and flu, and you're sitting there and oh man. So
waiting to get some more on top of what you already have.
Yeah. So eventually we get back there and they take these x-rays, and this girl's trying to manipulate my arm. I'm saying
I need drugs.
It was the worst. It was honestly the most pain. I almost passed out because the pain was so bad in the one arm. And they come to me. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for them to say, all right, your elbow's dislocated. And she's like, you need surgery. So, what? Yeah, what we'd like to do is we'd like to move you, send you over to our main hospital in Orlando. And, you know, we'd like you to have, you know, we think you need surgery. You should probably have surgery tomorrow. And I'm, wait a minute, I'm here on vacation. I'm not getting surgery here. So they go through and they tell me that, you know, the right arm is fractured. They don't need, typically they would put it in a splint, but being that the left arm is completely useless,
they don't want to see you walking around with no arms.
Right, right, right. You can't really totally incapacitate you. So they splinted the left arm. I said, well, I can't have surgery here. You know, we're leaving in two or 3 days, and, you know, we're here on vacation. I'd rather go just do it in New Jersey and then do all the recovery there. So they said, okay. So they made it sound, you know, yeah, you need surgery, but they didn't explain how bad it was to me.
Yeah.
And I really didn't find out how bad it was until after I got back here to New Jersey, to where I saw my orthopedic doctor that next Monday. And he said, I want you to go get a CAT scan on that left arm right now. So I went and got it. And he said, your radial head in your left arm is shattered. It's gone. He said, you know, there's a piece that's missing. It's floating in your arm. Great. So we, you know, they scheduled surgery. I got it done that Friday, and they had to actually cut part of my radius bone out and put in this prosthetic in there, or implant, and here we are. So I'm still recovering. I'm recovering from that, but, you know.
Are they expecting you to have a full recovery?
Yeah, yeah. You know, right now I've got, very limited movement of the left arm. You know, I can move the hands and the fingers, a little bit of tingling in that, which has just started. So I've got to get that checked out this week. But the right arm, it's still, they took an x-ray last week, and that's still got a pretty good fracture in there. So in the same spot. It's funny. After the surgery, he comes out with a photo, and he's there's four big chunks of bone. He said, typically what we'll do is we'll open up the arm. We'll take all the bones out and see if we can kind of piece them back together and put them back in, because ultimately, you know, we'd like you
to reattach,
right, you know, with titanium screws or whatever. He said, yours was just so bad. There were so many pieces floating around in there that I didn't even give that another thought once I got it open and got everything cleared out.
So what, did he put a plate in there?
Well, no, they put this prosthetic. It's about, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 inches. They had to cut the bone down and then put this piece in there so that, you know, eventually I'll be able to use it, I guess, more of almost like a joint replacement.
Mm. People say the good old days back in the day. Thank God for today, because if you did that 20 years ago, Scott, you'd be...
They'd cut your arm off.
You imagine?
Yeah, they'd cut your arm off. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or you'd be a locked arm or whatever. Technology is just
right. Ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely.
And now you can say you're part audio animatronic, too.
Yeah, there you go. So
we're sorry about the end of your
trip.
So
that ended my trip, but... You know, I just told my wife and the kids, I stayed in the room. Well, the next morning I called over to hospitality house and said, hey, you know, I had an incident. Just need you to come over and take an incident report. Told them what happened. You know, two of the managers came over and they took the incident report. And then I guess the next day they called over and said, you know, can we get you anything? And one thing that did make me a little, you know, little upset about the whole thing was that my wife, after that first day that I was there in the room, my wife had called over to Olivia's to get try to get me something to eat. You know, I was in no position to get up and go anywhere. So she called over and she said, you know, hey, my husband was hurt last night here on the property. You know, I just need to get him something to eat. They absolutely refused to, and we weren't asking them to bring it back. She said, I'll come over and pick it up.
Yeah, they won't allow takeout there.
They said, under no circumstance will we do that.
You should have got on the phone with the manager at the hotel. Yeah. That's what Ida did, and I bet you would have got Olivia's.
Yeah.
You're not in any mood to argue with people. You're already in pain and aggravated and disappointed and that whole thing. But
my wife would have, but I just said, you know what, forget it. Mm-hmm. And I had told them, I said, look, I said, you know, there's nothing you can do for me. I'm talking to my wife here. You know, I said, there's nothing you can do for me here. You know, I've got pain medication that'll kind of get me through these next couple of days. Why don't you guys just go to the parks? And, you know, I don't want to, you know, ruin the entire vacation for everybody. But, you know, it certainly put a damper on everybody on everybody's
absolutely.
Vacation, that's for sure.
And your poor wife had to drive home.
She had to drive the entire way home. Yeah. And that's not.
we do it because we want to.
Right.
You make them do it. It's like a chore.
Right. Right.
Because I know Brenda. I mean, Brenda gets aggravated halfway through the ride home every time.
Right.
She don't like it that long. Me, the ride don't bother me. My body starts to break down the older I'm getting, but I keep that positive head that we're on our way. We just did Disney and I'm happy.
Right. 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 Yeah.
But.
I
making her drive the whole way, that's just sad.
Yeah, I do the drive with no problem on the way back, but for her to do it, it was really tough. And you know,
did you stay over one night or go straight through?
We went straight through. We got home probably somewhere around 2 a.m.
That's about when we got home. God bless her.
Yeah, we were gonna. I was actually going to extend the stay out. You know, it's nothing to add tickets on. I think it would have been $10 a person.
Yeah.
So I was going to extend, you know, maybe add another day or two because I didn't really have to get back to work until, you know, a couple of days into the next week. So I was going to extend it, and
there went that.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
So we're just dealing with that now.
Well, everybody on the show and everybody out there, give Scott your thoughts and prayers that his elbows heal up perfectly.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. But, you know, it'll heal. It's just I don't think there's going to be any limitations, but who knows?
Time heals all wounds, hopefully in this case, too.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
But, well, that'll be it for this week. It was great having you back on,
yeah,
Scott.
Thanks.
We're not going to make you buy. We're going to make Dennis buy
there
this
we go.
Week because
okay.
I'm broke coming home from Disney.
Yeah.
You know, he has this round, lady.
Yeah, I got
so
it. But it was great having you on, Scott.
Yeah, I appreciate the invitation.
Anytime, and it was great hearing about your trip. Unfortunate that you had the incident, but you started off with rain and ended up with two busted elbows. So.
Yeah.
What a trip. You can never have a trip worse than that. Let's
well,
put it that way.
That's it.
No.
That's it.
But not close to not worse than that. But hopefully in 10 years you'll be laughing
there
about it.
There we go. Hopefully. I'm sure I will.
It'll be a memorable trip, needless to say.
This just told me that I'm getting old.
I could have told you that. And
yeah,
saved
I know.
You
we all think that we're invincible and vulnerable, but... This just flipped the switch and said, you know what, Scott, that's it. You got to slow down.
Yep.
Dude, I literally make a long story short about, because I still beat my 18-year-old. You know how fast I always was, Scott, played sports.
Mm-hmm.
About a year ago, I still racing my 18-year-old godson, and I could still beat him.
Yeah.
We were running across my property, and my feet got tied up, and I took a nosedive. I did a shoulder roll like a stuntman in the grass.
Oh.
Thank God I got up. I ruined my jacket. Yeah. It was a new Nike jacket. It was all grass stained.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, my wife says, you're too damn old.
That's it.
And after that fall, I don't think I've ran outside since in a race.
Yeah, yeah.
A jog or do something, but running like that, dude, we're too old for that. That's a young man's
That's
game.
That's true.
All right, Scott, be good. Get better.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you.
Feel better.
It
was great having you
on. I appreciate the invitation.
And it's always open, Scott.
Okay.
Yeah, my buddy Dan, you got anything to plug, anything to talk about?
No, that's going to do it. I'm down to 11 days, so I'm counting the days down until I get down there. So looking forward to that.
Have a great time.
Between my trip, your trip, our guests coming up, we're going to have some full shows in coming ahead, guys. So don't forget to check us out on Facebook, over at Twitter at WDW Main Street. Email us at WDWMMSMPodcast@gmail.com. And everybody have a great week, and talk to you guys real soon. Bye. Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at WDWMainStreetMemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.